Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Houston Sports Talk with your host, Robert Land.
Thanks for checking into the best Houston sports podcast. And joining me is a prominent and wise Rockets Twitter presence. You know him as Mitty. He's at Mitty Rockets on X. Glad you could join us, Mitty. And I got to ask, what's the story behind the name? What's the story behind Mitty?
Oh, Mitty's just kind of some sort of name that I came up with. My friends started calling me that back in high school. My real name is it's a Turkish name. People mess up on it a lot. I used to play a lot of Xbox and PS4, whatever. My name was always Mitty Rock, so I just came, and it just came as Mitty. Easy to say. It's not very frequently used, so.
Yeah, it's original for sure. And just for those who don't know Mitty, what's your Rockets background? How far do you go back? What era did you start rooting for the Rockets?
When I came to America from Turkey when I was about 4 years old, I was always in Texas. I do have to say, I was a Spurs fan when I first came because I was in San Antonio. I lived in San Antonio for about, I would say, 8 years. I was a big Spurs fan. I grew up during the Duncan, Ginobili, Parker era, so I have a lot of familiarity with how they played, and it was a very unselfish type of basketball. But when the Rockets started getting into a heated rivalry with the Warriors, that's when my Rockets... And then I moved to Houston. I lived in San Antonio. I moved to Houston back in, like, 2007, 2008. I was still a Spurs fan for a while, but then after a while, I just kept really rooting for the Rockets at some point. And after a certain period, I was full on Rockets. Raised in Houston. I love it here. Would die for the Rockets.
So just like in the last decade, you really turned on to the Rockets.
Yeah. I mean, I went through the rebuild, so I'm still going through it. I don't know if that's enough, but
That's actually, I should say it's more than 10. In rebuild years, you age a lot faster, so it's probably more than 10 years when you got the rebuild. And just if anybody's just finding my show, I forget to like remind everybody I'm a native Houstonian. I followed the Rockets since their first NBA Finals appearance 44 years ago. My degree was in broadcast journalism. I worked in sports journalism for over 3 decades overall, more than 2 decades in Houston. I spent a season working for the old Rockets TV affiliate, Channel 20, as their videographer and editor. So bottom line, if you cut me open, Mitty, there's a lot of Rockets red in my blood for sure.
I love it.
Well, that Memphis loss this past Wednesday night, if you're watching it on Thursday, if you're watching us immediately, it's last night. It was not the best loss of the season. Pretty ugly looking. Udoka mentioned potential starting lineup changes in the postgame. Mitty, my first thought after the game was, and just not even Udoka mentioning it, my first thought was Jalen should not be starting post All-Star break if Van Vliet or Cam's back and ready to go. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm at the point where if we're not really tanking, and I don't think Ime Udoka or Rafael Stone wants to tank, Jalen needs to be sixth man or coming off the bench for someone maybe such as Cam Whitmore or even Amen Thompson. It's the biggest reason why Jalen has been giving us a lot of issues is frankly his three-point percentage. He's shooting around 30%, 31% from three. And I've had this conversation with you, and I've had this conversation with a lot of folks, but if you would increase that number from 6%, 7% to 36, 37% from three, and that's not even counting elite, that's just okay. You're shooting good. This would be a completely different discussion. And a lot of these attempts are wide open too. You can't really depend on Jalen doing that when he's constantly missing. You need some sort of shooting at the two spot, some sort of scorer. And he's been doing much better on defense. He has been doing much better as a facilitator as well to some extent. But we need someone who can score. It can't just be Alpi. I do want Jabari more usage. That's a different topic. But yeah, I am fully aboard with it. It's been going along for too long now. But yeah, that's my thoughts. How do you feel about it?
Well, I've pretty much given up on Jalen at this point. I felt like after watching the last couple of weeks, maybe there was some hope. He had that nice little run. But, you know, it just tells me that he is not into it every single game. When you see him get 3 10-rebound games, and he hadn't done 1 10-rebound game in his entire 3 years, and you hear why, that he was basically told by Udoka, look, you know, you're doing a lot of stuff where you're just not out there focusing and not out there giving effort to rebounding. And it was basically what it came down to is like, you're standing around at times. So, you know, he puts forth that good weekend and I'm like, okay, maybe this is something. But as soon as the trade deadline rumors end, I felt like that's when he started let the gas off the pedal a little bit, Mitty. And then all of a sudden you go, okay, well, maybe he was just doing it so he could stay here in Houston because he knows he's got a good thing and the Rockets have been super patient with him. But man, I'm done and I'm ready to move on from Jalen and put him on the bench for now. And, you know, I'm at the point where, you know, he's a contract right now in the offseason. You know, they need to look at dealing with him and I should say. And yeah, I'm kind of done right now with him.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, like I said, if he's a jump shooter who can't shoot, I've heard that a bunch. He needs to be able to do that at the shooting guard position. And Frank has said this before, but when we were really gelling, we were really playing well, when Alpi was playing his best, when we had Tari back, when we had the number two defense, and that was kind of our peak. At that point, Frank said, we are a Jalen Green leap away from contending. I don't think we're necessarily at like even close to contention spot, but for competing for the playoffs and competing against other playoff teams, 100%. You put any other player in that position that would shoot at least 38%, 39%, given as is, without Tari Eason, without a lot of other players, we would not be even in this discussion right now. We would be talking about, you know, who's our opponent for the play-in. We would be talking about a 7-8 seed. It is really that important. We have been one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league. It really sucks because he does have potential, but I don't think he's going to be able to access that potential in the Rockets' red.
Yeah, and everybody always talks about the Rockets' inability to shoot threes. And really, it comes down to Jalen because he's your most volume shooter from the three-point. I mean, he shoots as much as anybody from three-point range, and he's terrible at it. And yeah, Şengün can't shoot threes, but he doesn't shoot a lot of those. And really, he's the one person that's, you know, the reason why you need the threes out there, because he's trying to draw the double teams and get somebody open. And he's a reason. You know, Tate's got 10, 20 minutes, and I'm not a big guy on Tate because he can't shoot, but he's not the biggest reason that's the problem with the three-point shooting. And it's not Amen Thompson because, you know, he's not trying to shoot threes either. The low percentage is not him, and he's figured out other ways to get the ball in the basket. So, I mean, that's the big part of it. And here's the thing, Mitty. I mean, if I'm Udoka, I want Van Vliet to be the guy that comes in, and then we say, okay, Amen's still starting and Van Vliet, so that's your backcourt. But if Van Vliet's not ready after the All-Star break, but Cam Whitmore is, or Tari Eason is, either one of those guys, whoever it is, you know, they need to start because the Rockets continue to get off to slow starts. And really, he is as big a reason as anybody why they're getting off to slow starts. I mean, you know, this slow start thing, you know, it was Van Vliet in the lineup and now it's Amen. And I don't think it's them that's the reason why the Rockets are getting off to the slow start. And I don't think it's Dylan Brooks. And, you know, his intensity is, you know, right from the start of the game, you see it. Jabari Smith has been in and out, you know, because of injury in the last few weeks. It's not so. It's Jalen. It's really Jalen.
One thing I guess I could mention about Jalen, and this is more contract, but if we don't decide to do an action about Jalen maybe this offseason and then up to the trade deadline, he's going to have a cap hold. And then when we get to, I guess, the 2025 offseason, when maybe we might be looking for a star might come active, and we're actually trying to do trade talks, and we need cap room open. His contract automatically hits a certain point. They assume you're going to give this guy the max based on he was drafted second pick. So he'll have a cap hold of about $37 million until you get rid of him or until the season starts or whatever. When he hits restricted free agency, there will be a cap hold of $37 million. So that kind of shuts your kind of lane of being able to get a superstar or whatever through trade or anything. It's going to be tough. So I understand why the front office has been looking. And I think those talks are very real of trading Jalen. I originally said, let's wait until the restricted free agency. But after learning that news, I do understand why it is a little bit more of a more urgency now.
Yeah. You know, in my last show, I said Amen's look like the best Rockets defensive player and rebounder. And maybe I didn't say enough, because the way Şengün struggled recently, Mitty, you can argue Amen's been the best player, period, since he's been starting. The best player, period, on the Rockets. A rookie has come in and just done a ton of different things on the floor that you have to love.
I love Amen. The way when he plays, you don't expect him to be able to get rebounds over these bigs on the other team, but he can guard at times. He can guard like maybe the five on a switch, depending on what they're doing, but not consistently. But one through four, he's got it. But the way he's just able to get the rebound from anybody in the post, and also just how comfortable he is with putting the ball back, is, I haven't seen anything like that. And it's very Tari-esque. Imagine those two on the floor at the same time. And by the way, those two are the same. Those two are one of the players that cuts the most when Şengün has the ball. So they, even though they might not provide the space, the shooting spacing, they provide other ways of utilizing and playing off of Şengün. I agree. Şengün's been kind of, he hasn't been playing as well as he usually has, and he played really well in the, earlier in the season. He's been a little off. I think that these last two games, he's actually been pretty well defensively. He's held his matchup to under 50% shooting, true shooting percentage. And they're kind of starting to do this hedge with him where Şengün kind of goes up into the screen, into the ball handler, and blitzes the ball handler. And then there's usually someone that comes in and tags Shengun's defender, which is a weak side rim help or weak side helper. That's usually Amin. It used to be Tari, but now it's Amin. And Amin has been great. They play great defensively together and offensively together. But I am excited to see them to the rest of the year and hopefully next year as well.
Jabari has not been the same since the ankle injury, I think. And I noticed you pointed out something on Jabari after combing through some stats that might surprise people. I don't know if it will or not, but what did you find out? Tell us about that.
NBA University posted it. He's actually one of the best isolation defenders in the NBA in terms of points per possession. And I actually agree with that. And it matches the eye test. People say he's immobile. I don't think so. If anything, he's actually more mobile than he is, in my opinion, a big. He plays like a three defensively. I always go back to Chicago when we played against Chicago, and DeRozan needed the last shot, and he went 1-1 with Jabari. Jabari played amazing defense on him, and he played amazing one-on-one defense throughout the game. Now Jabari's been doing much better as a rim protector and help defender for Alpi, but he's not there yet. And not the matchup metrics, but the on-off lineups kind of tell that story. When Alpi, Tari, and Jabari are playing together, they have one of the best defensive ratings on the team, and they have one of the best offensive ratings on the team. But when Alpi and Jabari are playing, they have a net negative rating. Take that with what you will. Tari also makes both of those guys a lot better. When you play Jabari and Tari together, when you play Alpi and Tari together, he is one of the most impactful players. I think Jabari should be played at the three. You should find a four. That four right now we have in our roster, it's Tari Eason.
Yeah, I mean, I think that confuses people sometimes as they look at some of these guys and they go, which position should they play or whatever. It's more like which guy should play with which guy. And that sort of leads me right into my next question. It's something I'm already starting to think about, because guess what? We only have about, I don't know, 28 games or so left in this season, and we got to start looking at next season. And if they don't trade for a starter this offseason, Mitty, who's your Rockets starting five next year? Who would you like to see out there? I'm not asking you who you think Udoka is going to have in his starting five, because that could be a totally different thing. But who's your starting five? And maybe this changes by the end of the year, but as you're looking at it right now, assuming they don't bring in another starter, like I said, who do you like out there?
Great question. I know who you're going to pick. But for point guard, I'd still have to go with Fred. Fred's been kind of our guy. He's been calming the storms a lot when we kind of go out of sync. He knows who to get the ball to, who to really play through during the times. He has a natural instinct for that, and he's a great leader. I do love Amin, by the way, and I think if it's up to me, I play him as sixth man next year with heavy, heavy minutes. A lot of those minutes maybe play with Fred and Alpi and Cam or whatever. But for number two, the number two spot, I have to go with Cam. He provides the exact thing that we need from Jaylen, and it's literally just scoring and spacing. Not amazing volume, but he is shooting about 40% from three. I have to look it up.
He's shooting 40% from three, and it's been pretty consistent. And, you know, and the fact that he's consistently the point, it's a point a minute practically. It seems like when he's in the game, he's at, I think, 27 or 28 per 36. And, you know, and the rebounds, his rebounds are close to 8 rebounds a game. When Jaylen, most of his time so far with the Rockets, and except for that one little stretch we just talked about, he's pretty much like 4, 5, 6 rebounds a game, and that's it. And that, to me, that's just, there's all of these things that he's Jaylen, but he's better at Jaylen. That's basically it.
I mean, and he's just tough. He's huge. I was talking to my friend who didn't, who wasn't really watching, you know, Rockets basketball religiously. He watches more of the Pelicans, but he went to a Rockets game. He saw Cam Whitmore. He's like, oh, I really like that big guy. I'm like, you're talking about Cam Whitmore? He's like, yeah. I'm like, you know, he's only 19 and he plays shooting guard. And he didn't believe me. He had to look it up. It's wild. You have a 6'7" guy who gives you Jaylen Brown, Anthony Edwards vibes that can shoot. His shot is beautiful, by the way. The way he just like is able to release it is amazing. And it's always consistent. There's nothing changing with the shot. It's always going to stay the same. And that's how you know when someone is a good shooter, is they always shoot the same way every single time. And also just his rim pressure is insane. Him and Amin, Jaylen as well. Jaylen struggles a bit at the rim, but when he has it going, he can't do some crazy finishes. But absolutely, Amin and Cam have the best ways of just finishing at the rim. They are one of the best finishers on the team, no doubt.
So the last three positions, I assume Shangoon's your center. What do you do with the other two forward spots? Yeah.
Okay, I have Jabari and Tari at the forward spots. But in my opinion, those two, you can swap them both. So one can play the four at times, one can play the three at times. It really depends. But as long as you have both of those guys on there. Because Jabari is, he's like I said, he's been an amazing defender for us, just not in the way that you would expect him to be with his huge wingspan and his height. And he's also quietly been shooting 37-38% from three this year. And honestly, I think he needs more usage. But that's my five for right now. There could be trades in this offseason, so you never know. But that's my five. Fred, Cam, Tari, Jabari, Alpi.
Yeah, and I might surprise some people by saying I would just flat out start Amen over Fred VanVleet at the point guard next year, because, look, Fred's gone most likely at the end of next year. Fred, just because you don't start him, it doesn't mean he can't be the guy that gives you 30 minutes off the bench in what's a three-man rotation, which my three-man rotation would just be Amen, Cam, and Fred for the most part. You might be able to squeeze a few minutes into somebody else, you know, a 5 or 10 minute thing, but you don't have to have a guy backing up each position. And usually the better teams have one guard that backs up both positions, and the Rockets can do that perfectly, because I think Amen and Fred match up as a good backcourt duo. Amen and Cam match up as a good backcourt duo. However you want to mix and match Fred and Cam, whatever. And really, I'm fine with Dylan Brooks still starting, but I would potentially think about starting Tari Eason instead of Jabari. Move Jabari to the bench and have Jabari coming off potentially, because I love the idea of, let's see Tari and Amen and Cam and Dylan and all of that defense, all of those guys that are sort of can get you steals, make things happen, cause havoc, and then immediately get out on the break. Cam and Amen are both of those guys are one man fast break. Tari gets out there. So, I mean, it gives you an identity that they don't have, Mitty. They need some sort of an identity as a team. Their identity is like with those guys is quick and athletic. And then once you slow it down, you know, you have Shangoon to go to in the post, and that's basically your post offense. And then hopefully you start, you know, with that, I want to start seeing immediately. I want to start running pick and rolls with Amen and Shangoon, with Cam and Shangoon. Let's see what that can do, because eventually if you want Shangoon long-term, and you like those other two guys, Amen and Cam, which we all love, then let's see them run plays with each other. Let's see what they can do in the pick and roll. And so, yeah, I'm ready. And I've heard the argument that, well, Fred VanVleet, you know, you can't send him to the bench because you signed him to this big contract. But, you know, I'm sorry. This is the NBA. I'm trying to win games. And at the same time, I'm trying to get to a championship. And Fred, I'm sorry. We love you. But Fred VanVleet, it's really hard to win a championship if Fred VanVleet's your starting point guard. When he went to Toronto, he was not the starting guard. You know, it's Kyle Lowry. So, like, you got to get there. And, Fred, we gave you the money. You still get the money, which is, you know, that's a big reason why he signed with us, I'm sure. But bottom line is, you know, it's okay. He can go to the bench. He could still get 30 minutes. He could still work teaching these guys. And that's why he was brought in. He knows that.
If it wasn't for the beginning of the season where Fred was kind of our anchor, and ever since he's been gone, our offense has really taken a nosedive. To be fair, it's always been pretty bad. He's shown the ability that, you know, you can really rely on him. And this is going to be just a hard decision for Ime, in my opinion. You have about seven players that are starting caliber, and probably more than that, because I didn't even include Dylan. But I'm just going with the best available that I thought, and the most, reliable. In my opinion, Tari's one of the most impactful players. At some point during the next season, though, I did choose Fred, but I do want to see Amin start to really take that spot at one point, maybe even start over Fred, especially if you know, if it's going to be the same way where he's dealing with injuries. Because I think even his time during Toronto, during Tampa, when they played in the Tampa bubble or whatever back in 2021, Fred was Fred was injured, I believe.
But what you just said is another reason why I would like to see Fred coming off the bench, because he's now had an injury the last few years. He's a smaller guy. Smaller guys cannot handle that sort of physical taxing 35, 40 minutes a game, what he's been getting. And yeah, I could easily say, oh, Udoka will just drop the minutes as he gets more confidence and I'm in. But I kept thinking he was going to drop the minutes at different times earlier this year. I kept thinking, okay, the Rockets are doing well right now. You could take him out of the game for a few minutes. But, you know, Udoka would just get into a panic and want to throw him back in the game. And the best way to make sure his minutes are limited is just not start him. At least those first few minutes of the game, he's not in. It immediately cuts down how many minutes Udoka can actually play him. So maybe I just feel like on a number of levels, it helps his career out long term. It maybe gets him some legs back after playing, you know, near the top of the league in minutes the last 3 years, which has been ridiculous.
Yeah, Robert. I mean, I agree with most of that. It's the starting lineup isn't necessarily these are always going to be the five most impactful, best players on the team. There's obviously talent involved in who you pick for the starting lineup, but a lot of that is also there's a little bit of let's say veterans aren't necessarily going to hit the bench, especially someone like Fred, especially if he, I think Frank even touched on it a little bit, his agents wouldn't be necessarily to that, but that's a different issue. That's not basketball.
Everything that we've been seeing from Stone is he's worried about agents, but when you suck, you know what agents don't want? They don't want to put guys on your team. So it's time to let's get out of sucking mode and let's get to the point where we're winning. And the faster you get to the point of winning, then agents want to come. It doesn't matter. You know, when agents like to bring their client there, when they feel like they have a chance to win a championship. So I frankly don't want to hear about, you know, plus all these guys, they're griping all the time. I mean, PJ Tucker, who's nearly 40 years old, is demanding a trade when he's on a team that looks like it can win the championship. And he's griping nonstop, it seems like. He's always whining about something. This is a guy that has literally no offensive game anymore. That's whining. I mean, this is where we are in the NBA. I don't worry about it. I'm like, hey, we signed you to a contract. It's a better contract you would have gotten in anywhere else in the NBA. And you could come off the bench for 30 minutes instead of starting for 30 minutes. It doesn't matter, and it shouldn't matter for you. I want to ask you also, before we close things out, I almost forgot, what are some of the offensive and defensive trends you're seeing the last couple of games? Because I know there's some things that you wanted to get into. What are those?
In terms of offense, I just looked this stat up and actually posted on Twitter right before I got on, but we are ranked 29th in terms of touches per minute, and that's absolutely terrible. Because the people who are ranked, or the team that is ranked 28th and 30th, are ISO heavy teams. It's the Clippers and the Mavericks. You have Luka and you have Harden. We don't have any of that isolation savant on our team. We have Alpi, but Alpi isn't, you know, Luka or Harden. He has different ways, and he's also a playmaking big. He's more like Sabonis and Jokic to that type of archetype. And if you look at the top of the list, the most touches, the touches per minute, it's the Kings. The Kings have the most. Second is the Pacers. And around ninth or eighth is the Nuggets. I mean, that should just tell you everything you know. We're not utilizing Yelpy. And a lot of that is just personnel. You don't have shooters. You don't have any sort of rhythm that you could go to. And there's a lot of ball stoppers on the starting lineup. You know, if somebody gets the ball and they think they have a good shot, they're just going to take it. Dylan's been really good for us from the three. Though he'll obviously do some really dumb stuff a lot. In terms of the overall, I have been seeing a little bit more in terms of the offense. It's been better. Kelly, you could put out a tweet that, you know, because constantly telling people to, you know, cut while Alpi has the ball. It should have been done the first game of the season, but I'll take it. You know, we're getting some progress. I wish we got in a movement shooter during the trade deadline. That's gone. It doesn't matter anymore. Hopefully this offseason we do get those movement shooters. One of the best offenses in the league is Sacramento Kings. And the ball movement there is amazing. We need to be able to replicate that a little bit. In terms of defense, we're missing Tari's, and he's the most impactful person. And people keep telling, you know, saying like, oh, he's just one person. If you took out one piece from a team, one important piece from a team, he is that piece. Every other team has it. Every other winning team has it. It's literally the weak side help. You need a weak side help. If you don't have a rim protector, you need a weak side help. Alpi is not, he's not the rim protector. I mean, he is, but he's not a good one. That's
yeah. No, he's not the rim protector. I think we've all figured that out for sure.
Yeah. He can play good defense, but it's in passing lanes, and it's kind of low to the ground. It's not necessarily playing drop and in blocking shots. That's not his style.
Yeah.
He needs to come in front of the screen, and he needs to come to the ball handler and blitz them. And then his man is wide open, but that's when the weak side help comes and tags his man, and then the guards come and tag that man. And it's kind of what Denver ran last year in the playoffs. And that's a playoff scheme that tired everybody out. But there needs to be some sort of similarity to that. It can't just be drop. You can't drop with Alpi, otherwise you're just going to get torched. So we have been seeing progress, but it's obviously not enough. We need Tari back, we need Fred back, and we need Cam back. It's that simple.
Yeah, well,
what do you think? Injuries
are terrible for any team, and the problem with the Rockets is there's not the depth, and there's a reason why you are where you are, is you don't have enough star power, and Şengün is not ready to do it on a nightly basis. He can't do it consistently. He's 21 years old. And he can't bring that same, you know, like a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA, like he cannot bring that, you know, 30 points consistently or even 25 points consistently a night. And then his defense also struggles when he gets going the wrong way offensively, he gets the wrong way going defensively. So yeah, you need to have that guy that brings it every night. That's where you can withstand injuries. You know, that's why when James Harden was here, it was an automatic 50 wins, because if other guys went down, it didn't matter. James Harden was the offense, and James Harden, you know, could bring it every single night. It did not matter. So yeah, that's the key right there. And you know, that's the key. That's why when you're a young team, everybody that's missing is a big deal, because really as a young team, what happens is, you know, one guy can carry you one night, but he can't carry you every night. So one guy might, you know, one or two guys might be going one night, and then another two guys might be going another night, and so on and so on and so forth. And so, yeah, that's been the biggest problem. But you know, offensively, defensively, it's the same issue. It's just getting consistency from guys that are young guys, and you don't have that. And they don't have enough other veterans out there. You know, they invested all of their veteran money, basically $60 million into Fred and Dylan, and that's it. And really, you would want the $60 million a little bit more spread out, the three or four or five guys, and that's not happening. I mean, Jeff Green's fine, but Jeff Green, as we know, should only be playing 10 or 15 minutes a game at this point in his career. So, I mean, that was the frustration when they had to go out and overpay those guys, because it left you with the lack of depth. And, you know, Brooke Lopez, everybody was like, that would have screwed up Şengün. I don't think it would have screwed up Şengün. I think they would have figured out a way to play him and Şengün together. And what would have happened is you would have had that guy that would have been able to help Şengün on defense. And you would have had that guy that would have been able to come off the bench at times. And you know, if he wasn't starting, and give you size. So, you know, the Brooke Lopez, it was a big deal, and there just wasn't a plan B. But it's hard to find a plan B for a Brooke Lopez. Those guys are hard to find. That's why the Rockets struggled in finding a guy like that. And they've kind of struggled with finding that guy, period. Daniel Theis, we went through that experiment. We went through the Bruno Garuba, you know, I mean, the Bruno Fernando experiment. So I was like, yeah. But yeah, good stuff, Mitty. Thanks a bunch for doing this. And any last words you got before we take off?
Post All-Star break, we could see a different trend. It depends on what, if Ime is actually serious about benching certain people and actually playing maybe a rotation that works, playing more minutes to those players that actually do work. And especially the growth of Amen is great. And if Fred comes back and they can play together, him, Cam, Amen are all interchangeable. That's what I like about the backcourt. You can play any different combination of them. So, you know, we could see something different. I'm not really optimistic about the play-in. However, it's not completely out of reach yet. But Robert, I appreciate everything. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks a bunch.
You're listening to Houston Sports Talk.
Hey, don't forget to support us by subscribing and commenting on YouTube. You can always listen to us on Spotify, Apple, or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends about us and share our show links on social media. Spread the word, everybody. Thanks for listening.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.